This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is the worst over for the stock market this winter? If I could tell you that. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. First, President Biden is flying to Brussels for tomorrow's NATO meeting. The White House is reportedly working on new sanctions against Russia on members of Russia's parliament. As Russia is being reminded, war costs a fortune. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Every day of the invasion, Russia's military uses up a lot of materiel, so it needs to replenish its supplies of weapons, tanks, and missiles.
But also it is the supplies, it is the logistics, it is things like food for your forces as well.
Vera Zakum is a senior associate with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Overall, it's difficult to tell how much Russia has spent so far in the invasion. But Zakum says it's got to be more than Moscow expected.
Because it has been a sustained and protracted conflict, one that has had pretty significant losses to Russia.
That includes significant human losses. Anatol Levin is senior fellow with the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He says we don't know how many casualties Russia has incurred so far.
But certainly, I mean, to judge by the number of senior officers who've been killed, Russian deaths must run into several thousand by now, with, of course, that implies tens of thousands wounded.
Levin says Russia has the resources to keep pushing. It can send more soldiers and supplies to the front lines. It can also reorient the Russian economy into a war economy.
With extensive nationalizations, economic directives to private business to switch over to war production, possibly requisitions of food for the army.
That could stimulate the Russian economy in the short run. But in the long run, devoting more resources to the war effort will have its own costs, says Robert Farley, the University of Kentucky.
Because it doesn't create any kind of economic good in the same way that a car or a truck would, or a bridge or something along those lines.
Farley says devoting resources to building cars or bridges moves money throughout the economy and improves productivity. On the other hand,
tanks and bombers and fighters, the only thing they do is destroy, right? And they may still be necessary for the national good, but they're not productive from an economic point of view.
The longer the war drags on, Farley says, the more Russia's economy will suffer. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Crude oil is up 4.4%, $114 a barrel in New York now. Russia has decided now's the time to work to repair storm damage on a big pipe that connects its oil to the world, crimping the world supply. The Russian news agency TASS says the Caspian pipeline could be affected for about 2 months. Less supply implies higher prices, if this whole economics thing has any merit to it. The NASDAQ is down 1.1% in early trading here. The Dow down 254 points, 0.8%. The S&P is down 0.8%. This after the S&P went up 3.7% over the last 5 days. But that index was down nearly 6% since New Year's. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, after all these dreadful declines in stock prices earlier this week, it was like, hey, happy days here again. Not quite.
Not quite. Remember that the stock market is always volatile, and we're seeing extra volatility right now. Yes, we've seen some good days in the S&P. It's recovered half of the losses it's had since the beginning of the year. But we're not back in the clear. We still have a lot of things going on that we want to be careful about. High oil, the Ukraine-Russia crisis, uncertain outlook on earnings. I think there's still a rocky road ahead of us.
Yeah, and loose chat that maybe the interest rate increase in the U.S. come May might be a bigger increase than maybe some had thought.
Absolutely. And that's something the market is keeping their eye on. It's also something the market worries about. For example, what does that do to new home sales? People are going to start to feel that increase in interest rates. It's definitely something to pay attention to.
Yeah. I mean, you see the average 30-year fixed mortgage, 4.72%. It's going up quick.
Exactly. And a lot of people entering the home market haven't seen rates at this level in quite some time, if at all. I think that's going to have an impact. The market is going to take a careful stance here. And again, nothing's ever smooth sailing. Expect volatility. Overall, the market might trend up or it might trend down, but it's never going to be a smooth path.
All right. Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, head of U.S. equities there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moderna says its COVID vaccine has now been shown to work pretty well in little kids aged 6 months to 5 years. It plans to seek FDA special permission. The data showed that it only worked fair to okay against the Omicron variant.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, the Securities and Exchange Commission said it needs more time to figure out if it will allow a special kind of exchange-traded investment fund. Now, these are funds tied to the moment-to-moment changes in the price of Bitcoin, which investors could buy into or sell out of at will. This would be a new phase in government regulation of cryptocurrency. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has that.
The SEC regulates securities, think stocks or mutual funds, and right now it relies on a legal test from the 1940s to determine if a given cryptocurrency requires extensive risk disclosures like the other securities it oversees. So far, that system is working, says Duke Law's Lee Reiners.
They don't feel that they have to put forward unique rules or regulations pertaining to cryptocurrency.
But some in the crypto industry think the guidelines are too vague. The critical question comes down to how decentralized a cryptocurrency is. Bitcoin and Ethereum are so big now, investors hoping to profit from them aren't counting on a key group of people to make their systems run. Thousands of other cryptocurrencies, though, do fall under SEC jurisdiction under current rules, which need refining, says George Mason's J.W. Verrett.
Sophisticated digital asset lawyers would meet the SEC halfway and figure out a registration regime that makes sense.
He says the industry deserves more specifics so it doesn't run afoul of the law. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
You can really see that bathtub ring at massive Lake Powell in the west. That's the reservoir behind the Glen Canyon Dam that evens out household farm water and makes the hydropower happen in 7 western states. That water is the lowest ever, with some scientists using the word mega drought. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports now on how the West's water crisis could become an energy crisis.
Page, Arizona has had a front row seat to dwindling water levels at Lake Powell.
Well, it's certainly disturbing.
Brian Hill, who heads up the city's public power utility, says Page typically sources about half of its electricity from hydropower.
So now what we're having to do is to go into more and more expensive resources to replace that power.
Like oil and natural gas, which also produce more carbon emissions, says John Fleck, a water policy researcher at the University of New Mexico.
In the midst of the problem caused by climate change, we're losing one of our greenhouse gas-free power generation sources.
Hydropower accounts for about 7% of electricity generated in the U.S., but in Western states, that number is much higher. And Flex says some rural and tribal communities rely on it disproportionately.
They may see brownouts or blackouts.
And higher electricity bills, he says, as the West gets warmer and drier. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And the team that works on the half-hour Marketplace later today is just wrapping up their morning meeting now. Listen later to what my colleague Kai Rizdahl has for you on many public radio stations or streaming marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.